Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Temporary peace in part of the Middle East. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Gavin, who's filling in for Gina Cervetti. Wednesday, August 27. Glad you're on board. Here's what's up this hour.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to an open-ended ceasefire. Hear the change in fighting strategy that may have forced the hand of Hamas.
An American who left the U.S. to fight for Islamic State in Syria has been killed. His body found riddled with bullets in a battle with rival opposition groups.
President Obama sounds cautious in discussing the Islamic State. Hear his remarks during a speech to the American Legion.
And a bipartisan bill reached by Congress has now become a flashpoint on the campaign trail.
Traditionally, the Farm Bill is something that is pretty resonant with voters. One Republican lawmaker told me that in North Dakota, it's really the measure of a lawmaker whether they can get a Farm Bill passed. And these rural agricultural voters are important in a lot of these purple states. So it could definitely be one factor helping tip some of these elections.
Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson joins us from Capitol Hill to discuss who is now saying what ahead of the midterm elections. Israel and Hamas have agreed to their first open-ended ceasefire since fighting began early last month. In addition, they'll resume truce talks in Cairo in the coming days. The latest deal was greeted in Gaza City with celebratory gunfire. More now from the Wall Street Journal This Morning's Mike Weinstein.
The agreement was reached just hours after Israeli warplanes destroyed one high-rise building in Gaza City and severely damaged another, escalating pressure on Hamas. Across the border in southern Israel, last-minute rocket fire killed two people in a border kibbutz and wounded several others. Hamas is demanding a seaport, an airport, and the release of prisoners. Israel is demanding the demilitarization of the Gaza Strip. The two sides will also be discussing Israeli demands to boost monitoring over imports into the Gaza Strip to ensure they aren't used to rebuild Hamas military infrastructure. Gordon?
Thank you, Mike. By the way, one guy who's the head of Regional Council of Kibbutzism near the border says, I don't care what the government says. I don't care what Hamas says. No one is coming back until I know there is a real ceasefire. 9 minutes now after the hour. As the U.S. considers taking the fight against Islamic State from northern Iraq into Syria, President Obama is warning that the U.S. must use its power carefully and avoid sending Americans into harm's way unless absolutely necessary.
Our message to anyone who harms our people is simple. America does not forget. Our reach is long. We are patient. Justice will be done. We have proved time and time again we will do what's necessary to capture those who harm Americans.
He spoke yesterday at the American Legion's National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mr. Obama, by the way, made no mention of the prospect of more airstrikes or the options being considered. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Colleen McCain-Nelson. Colleen, what did he say?
He offered kind of a prudent message saying that the U.S. needs to use its power carefully. He cautioned against military overreach and said we shouldn't rush into what he called military adventures without thinking through the consequences. So it was kind of a step back and an assurance again that we will not be sending ground troops into Iraq, that we're not going to get dragged back into another ground war in Iraq.
I'd imagine that's a message he's eager to get out to the public, right?
Right. We've had kind of mixed messages from the White House in recent days in that we had the murder of the U.S. journalist James Foley. And so we heard from Obama and we heard a very tough message and kind of a march toward perhaps more aggressive action. And then over the weekend and early on Monday, they kind of stepped back a little bit and said nothing is imminent. No decision has been made. And then all of a sudden, the Pentagon acknowledged that it was preparing to send surveillance flights into Syria and kind of begin laying the groundwork for possible strikes in Syria. So Obama, again, took the more prudent approach. And the White House said, again, that no decision has been made on Syria. Obama did not address any options that the White House might be considering for expanding military operations and assured veterans that we're not going to send Americans into harm's way unless absolutely necessary.
And you also said that history has taught us that we shouldn't act too fast in a situation like this.
Right, exactly. And he said we should learn lessons from history. And it seemed like a message kind of directed at some of his critics who have said that he needs to be more aggressive, that he needs to move more quickly. And he says we really should learn from the past. We need to be cautious. We need to use our leadership wisely and not rush into military operations.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Colleen McCain-Nelson. I'm sure that some are eager to get some details on what a stepped-up military operation might entail, but I guess he doesn't really want to give that away just yet.
At this point, we're just in the mode where the Pentagon may be gathering intelligence within Syria by sending aircraft into Syrian airspace. And so it's since it's intelligence gathering, the administration's not talking about it. They're not even acknowledging that this is happening or is going to happen. At this point, there are no details, but the message that they've sent is that if there is an expansion, it still would just involve limited airstrikes. It's not as if we're suddenly going to send troops somewhere, but they're not really laying out the details of any game plan at this point, and especially since no decision's been made.
Let's talk a little more about what the president said regarding VA reform.
So he spoke to the American Legion at a time when the administration is still struggling to clean up all of the problems that have emerged within the VA in the last several months, with care being delayed, problems with efforts to cover up wait times and cook the books. And so the president came in and said that he was committed to fixing the problems. He called it a broken system and said that he would fix it. And he announced to the American Legion 19 executive actions that are aimed at doing a range of things, from helping veterans get access to mental health care services to easing the process to ensure that veterans get reduced mortgage interest rates that they're entitled to.
Thanks, Colleen. Wall Street Journal reporter Colleen McCain-Nelson. By the way, regarding the subject of Syria, an American citizen who left the U.S. to fight with Islamic State militants in Syria has been shot dead during a battle with rival Syrian opposition fighters. 33-year-old Douglas McCain was born in Illinois, attended high school in the Minneapolis area, later moved to San Diego. The incident highlights concerns over the threat posed by Islamic fighters from the U.S. and the West who have passports that could allow them to return home to carry out domestic terror attacks. 14 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Good Wednesday morning. Thanks for being with us. A day of face-to-face talks between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko in Belarus have failed to produce a breakthrough for ending the conflict over eastern Ukraine. We get more now from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Bruce Johnson.
Mr. Poroshenko said afterward that he would prepare a roadmap toward a possible ceasefire with the pro-Russia separatists. Meanwhile, Mr. Putin played down the significance of Russian troops caught on the Ukrainian side of the border this week. Just ahead of the talks, Ukraine released videotaped interrogations of the soldiers, who it said were part of a column of Russian infantry vehicles that its forces had attacked on Monday. The soldiers said they were given uniforms stripped of any indications that they were Russian military units. The Russian Defense Ministry said the soldiers had strayed accidentally. Gordon?
Maybe just lost the map or the GPS wasn't working. I mean, all, you know,
legitimate.
It could happen in 2014.
Sure. You only border the other country. Why would you know your way around there?
Good point.
Thank you, Bruce. 18 minutes after the hour. An independent watchdog for the Department of Veterans Affairs said no patient deaths at the Phoenix VA healthcare system were caused directly by long wait times. However, in its final report, it did detail widespread scheduling problems there. New VA Secretary Bob McDonald spoke at the National Convention of the American Legion, which has been a vocal critic of VA problems.
There is no higher calling in life than serving America's veterans. I see the leadership of the VA as a great opportunity to improve the lives of the men and women I care deeply about.
Meanwhile, the White House announced initiatives to combat mental health problems, including smoothing the transition for active duty personnel receiving mental health care as they move into the VA system. And Congress is pumping more than $16 billion into the VA healthcare system to provide more access to veterans waiting for appointments, hire new doctors and nurses, and lease new medical facilities. It is 19 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of our top stories.
Good morning. The Obama administration says that an American citizen who left the U.S. this year to fight with Islamic State militants in Syria was shot dead during a battle with rival Syrian opposition fighters late last week. The death of 33-year-old Illinois native Douglas McCain underscores administration concerns over the threat posed by militant fighters whose passports could allow them to return to the U.S. American journalist Peter Theo Curtis, who was held captive in Syria for 2 years, is back on American soil after being freed on Sunday. A family spokeswoman says that Curtis met his mother at Logan International Airport in Boston after flying from Tel Aviv and through Newark Liberty International Airport. Former Republican Governor Charlie Crist has won his party's primary, this time for the Democrats.
For 70 days, we want to make Florida scot-free.
Mr. Crist is referring to Florida's current Republican governor, Rick Scott. Crist held the Florida governor's office for a single term as a Republican, but abandoned the GOP in 2010 when faced with a tough Senate race against Republican candidate Marco Rubio. Stock investors have shrugged off worries about rising interest rates, military action throughout the Middle East and Ukraine, and even occasional concerns about the lackluster economic recovery. The S&P 500 finished above 2,000 Tuesday for the first time, and the Dow Jones Industrials passed a record during the day, only to fall back below record levels by the close. Bill Stone of PNC Wealth Management says that the upward trend could continue.
The alternatives, say treasury bonds or cash, you know, remain, I guess I would argue, less attractive. And stocks, though not cheap anymore, I don't think are some sort of really overvalued yet.
Investors weren't thrilled, however, with the news that Burger King was buying Tim Hortons and relocating to Canada, as shares of the burger chain fell over 4%. And a man in England was fined for wasting police time after telling his girlfriend he was kidnapped so he could stay at a party with his friends. UPI says the man told his girlfriend he was being held in a house in Bolton, England, until he repaid £50 to the fabricated captor. The man's understandably panicked girlfriend called the police to report the fictional crime, launching a very costly manhunt that even led to an unnecessary arrest.
Jeez. Must have been a good party.
Exactly. That must have been a really good party. That guy must have really, really needed that night out.
Wow. Hey, listen, sweetheart, it's not going so well. Oh, my goodness.
And imagine you get arrested for that crime, too.
Right. I'm putting that on your resume?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. 22 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday morning. Officials at the FBI are in a turf battle with other federal law enforcement agencies over perceived attempts to muscle into what the FBI considers its territory, and that's fighting violent crime. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman says a memo circulated to managers provides a rare public look at the tensions that simmer beneath the surface as federal agents from a bunch of agencies try to make big arrests and win prestige, as well as win congressional funding. Andrew, what have you dug up?
We've had a look at a sort of interesting internal memo that has been going around the FBI that describes a survey the Bureau did of field offices where it asked how often they're running into conflicts with other law enforcement agencies. Specifically, they're especially concerned about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, although they also found lots of conflicts with Homeland Security Investigations, which is the somewhat recently renamed investigative arm of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is especially common in the area area of violent crime, which is actually an area that the FBI has not de-emphasized. You know, they've definitely shifted a lot more of their focus toward things like national security, counterterrorism, counterintelligence, cybercrime, that sort of thing. Meanwhile, these other agencies have been trying to carve out some space for themselves. And one area that they've targeted, especially that the ATF has targeted, has been violent crime, gangs, guns. You know, they think that makes a lot of sense for them.
Is this concerning for FBI officials?
They are worried about it. You know, they definitely express some annoyance in this memo. They referred it to, you know, raw survey responses they got back from field offices that involve expletives. They are worried about it. You know, they view this as their prerogative, and the FBI has sort of traditionally been the top dog when it comes to federal law enforcement. So, you know, they worry about anything that erodes that.
Why is the FBI reluctant to have other agencies handle it?
The FBI is a big agency. It's much bigger than these other two, the ATF, HSI. But they have lots of people who are still devoted to that. And I think those people don't want to have their toes stepped on. And, you know, they would worry about that being eroded. But, yeah, you know, people have said to us, you know, there's plenty of violent crime to go around. But with these sorts of cases also comes more funding. So if the agencies feel like if they make lots of big arrests, big cases, then they might get more congressional funding, be able to hire more people, that sort of thing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman. What are some other reasons that other agencies want to share of these bigger cases?
Yeah, they do. I think anyone likes to or most of us like to get credit for our work, and a federal agent is no different in that regard in most cases. And there's also been political pressure. There's been proposals to, for example, break up the ATF and fold it into the FBI. They generally get, you know, you can get more funding if lawmakers perceive that you're successful, that you're effective. So all of these things this play into to desire to do more big cases.
So what can the FBI do to counter this?
Well, the ATF and the FBI both work for the Attorney General, so there is, you know, some sort of referee here. He could lay out clearer lines. Congress could enact more clear provisions. I mean, a lot of this just stems from the fact that there's this patchwork of agencies that are responsible for federal law enforcement. Some we haven't mentioned. The Secret Service has some responsibilities. The U.S. Marshals, the Drug Enforcement Administration. So, you know, Congress they could get Congress to try to draw brighter lines between these agencies as well.
Thanks, Andrew. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman from Washington. He writes, other agencies like the Secret Service, Drug Enforcement Administration, and the U.S. Marshals Service also sometimes conflict with the FBI on violent crime investigations, according to this memo. The FBI has conducted such a survey at least once before. He says last year it canvassed field offices to ask about issues with the ATF and found that, among other things, quote, it attempted to usurp the FBI's role. The memo says the agency plans to, quote, design an intake mechanism that will allow field offices to, quote, report any and all instances of lane incursions as they occur. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. In any business, it's important to maximize your potential, and two keys are strong communication and collaboration. They allow you to close deals faster, problem solve better, and create new opportunities. That's why you need Citrix GoToMeeting. It's the best, most efficient way to meet with clients and customers from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. With GoToMeeting, you can meet online as often as you like with anyone, anywhere in the world. You can share screens to review documents and presentations together in real time, all while using the built-in HD video conferencing feature to see each other face-to-face to engage and connect. It's just like being in the same room, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting allows you to cut out the wasted time and expense of travel so you can be more productive without losing that personal touch of meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free today to see what it can do for you. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free for 30 Days button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday, August 27th. Gordon Deal with Mike Gavin, who's filling in for Gina Cervetti. Some of our top stories: an open-ended ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. President Obama urges caution regarding terrorists, although his talk is tougher.
Rooting out a cancer like ISIL won't be easy and it won't be quick. But tyrants and murderers before them should recognize that kind of hateful vision ultimately is no match for the strength and hopes of people who stand together for the security and dignity and freedom that is the birthright of every human being.
Also, aftershocks in Napa and services that can clean out your inbox so you don't have to delete and unsubscribe all day. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. The bipartisan farm bill doesn't sound so bipartisan right now. Must be an election year, right? Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson says one of the few hard-fought compromises passed by Congress this year has now unexpectedly cropped up on the campaign trail as a flashpoint. She joins us from Capitol Hill. Christina, what's the quick background?
It took something like more than 2 years to work this agreement out. So it was a big fight. It got finally concluded in February with a bipartisan agreement. So it seems sort of an unlikely piece of legislation to be popping up on the campaign trail, given that there was a big bipartisan effort to get this passed. And in 2012, the Farm Bill had been a big issue on the campaign trail, but in a very different context. At that point, Democrats in the Senate had passed the Farm Bill, but there were divisions among Republicans in the House that had prevented them from being able to pass a Farm Bill there. So Democrats really hammered Republicans in the 2012 elections on this issue. So one might think that it would be neutralized this year, given that a bipartisan bill had passed, but many of the GOP Senate candidates came out against the Farm Bill during the primary. So it has actually been revived as something of a partisan divide in many of these battleground Senate races.
All right, so who now is having to defend that vote?
So people on both sides are defending their positions. You have Democrats in at least six of the tight Senate races saying, I supported the Farm Bill. We need certainty. This is an example of the kinds of things that I would get done if I went to Washington. Meanwhile, you have their GOP opponents taking a very different position saying, this is the kind of thing that I wouldn't do if I went to Washington. They have a variety of different reasons for opposing the Farm Bill. Some people say the food stamp funding should not be included with the farm programs. Some people have objected to the structure of the subsidies that are provided in the bill. Meanwhile, Republicans who aren't in some of these battleground states have said that their lives are easier in some rural states like North Dakota because they have passed a farm bill. In 2012, it was a really big issue in states like North Dakota where Heidi Heitkamp actually helped win her Senate race because of the fact that Republicans had not passed a farm bill yet. Well, so it has been a help to some Republicans, but who have defended their support, but some people are using it as an example of how conservative they are that they oppose it.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson on Capitol Hill about how the Farm Bill has become a bipartisan flashpoint this campaign season. Is that issue resonating among voters in all those states you mentioned, or that we know to be battleground states?
Yeah, you know, traditionally the Farm Bill is something that is pretty resonant with voters. One Republican lawmaker told me that in North Dakota, it's really the measure of a lawmaker whether they can get a farm bill passed. And these rural agricultural voters are important in a lot of these purple states. So it could definitely be one factor helping tip some of these elections, though obviously there are a lot of different issues this year. And I should note that there are some Republicans, at least one, in very high-profile races who are supporting the bill. One example is Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who is in support of the Farm Bill. He is touting his role in helping get a pilot program for hemp included in the bill. But he also is someone who has had his eye on the threat faced by his general election all along, while some of these candidates have really been focused on emerging the winner of the primary and proving that you're more conservative than others can be an important part of that.
Thanks, Christina. Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson from Capitol Hill. It's 21 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Just a reminder, get the brand new WSJ radio app in Apple's App Store for your iPhone and iPad. You can listen on your way to work. Also for your Android devices in Google Play. You can also find the WSJ radio app in Amazon's App Store. Good Wednesday morning. Glad you're with us. Time for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at AutoTrader.com. There goes the summer. Labor Day weekend is here, one of the busiest travel times of the year, as you know, especially by car. And a new survey by TripAdvisor finds 10% more Americans will be traveling this weekend. So where will they go and what will they do? Here's TripAdvisor travel expert Brooke Forensic. Brooke, what's trending here?
According to a TripAdvisor survey of more than 2,500 travelers, Americans are going to be hitting the road this Labor Day weekend to really squeeze the last ounces out of their summer. And it's actually up a little bit from last year. So according to the same survey, 30% said they traveled for the holiday weekend last year, so more people are going to be hitting the road. In terms of the most popular getaway options, the beach and the city. So 27% of travelers in the TripAdvisor survey said they'll be doing a city trip. 27% also said they'll be doing a beach ocean trip. And of those that TripAdvisor surveyed for this Labor Day travel survey, 68% said they're going to drive, whereas about 25% said they're going to fly for Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, this is really kind of one of those driving holidays, I guess like Memorial Day weekend, right?
It is. It's very similar to Memorial Day, Labor Day with the long weekend. People are taking those, they might take those 1 to 2 hour getaway shots, kind of local, but a short little getaway where they can kind of get the most out of the weekend. And again, it's a great time to kind of get that last opportunity for beach time before the kids go back to school and the weather starts getting a little more crisp.
All right. So looking past that then and into the fall, we have anything unusual on our plates? Anything noteworthy?
You know, people are bullish about their fall travel this year, too. So 83% of U.S. respondents to the TripAdvisor survey said they plan to take a leisure trip this fall, which is up 16% from those that said they took a leisure trip last fall.
Okay.
And more than a third of them said they plan to spend more on their leisure travel this fall than last year. So people are ready to get out there for fall trips. In terms of the main motivation for fall travel, number one on the list is fewer crowds than the summer. That was about a fifth of the people that we surveyed. 17% said they prefer the climate fall rather than the summer.
Yep.
And then you had about 10% that said it's all about the fall foliage.
Nice. We're speaking with Brooke Forensic, travel expert at TripAdvisor.com. We're talking about travel for the Labor Day weekend. And where are we going as we look ahead to the fall? The top spots are what? I assume Disney is in there. When you mentioned fewer crowds being a motivation, I always think Disney.
It's true, Gordon. Yeah, according to the TripAdvisor survey, the big cities are the big draw for the fall. So the number one destination, according to travelers this fall, will be New York City.
Thanks, Brooke. That's TripAdvisor travel expert, Brooke Forensic. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. You know, it's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. It's the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to 2 dozen red roses plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Pro Flowers is quick and easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. You can't beat the price or convenience. So here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is here with some of our top stories.
Good morning. Israel and Hamas have agreed to their first open-ended ceasefire after 7 weeks of military confrontation. Long-term truce talks will also resume in Cairo in the coming days. The deal was greeted in Gaza City with celebratory gunfire, street celebrations, and honking car horns. Healthcare scheduling delays at the Phoenix VA were widespread but not fatal. That according to a report by the Office of the Inspector General, an independent watchdog for the department. The report follows months of turmoil at the agency. Multiple investigations, and a number of resignations, including VA Secretary Eric Shinseki. Here's current VA Secretary Bob McDonald.
VA might not be concerned about quarterly profit and loss statements or shareholder value, but the VA does have a bottom line, and that bottom line is care for veterans.
The popular messaging app Snapchat is getting a cash infusion from a well-known Silicon Valley venture capital firm and a brand new valuation of close to $10 billion. Despite lacking a clear business model, investors still see potential to reach millions of teenagers and college students through the three-year-old app. Big Tobacco is finally making its push into electronic cigarettes. Altria and Reynolds together have already captured about a quarter of convenience store sales just weeks into national rollouts of the the battery-powered devices. But the Wall Street Journal's Mike Esterel says that comes with a caveat, as more e-cig users are turning to so-called vape shops to buy them.
A different type of e-cigarette is being sold in those stores. They are more customizable. They are larger, so they have larger tanks. You can refill the tanks rather than having to throw away a cartridge and buy a new cartridge.
Stock futures are trending higher this morning after another positive day on Wall Street yesterday. And commuters driving through I-66 in Centerville, Virginia, were faced with an unexpected challenge Monday morning, as if Monday wasn't a big enough challenge, as recently placed highway lane lines began stripping and curving. A week before, highway workers laid down temporary tape to designate lanes while road work was being done. As rush hours came and went, the tape was subject to increasing wear and tear, eventually peeling and repositioning itself.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at an overhead shot, which I think is from a news helicopter in that area.
Yeah.
It looks like spaghetti strewn across the road, right? One where some white striping seems to lead right into a guardrail.
I mean, can you imagine?
Jeez.
I mean, it doesn't appear anybody was hurt, but can you imagine you're groggy on a Monday morning, you know, heading to work and you see this?
How about it's just dark, right? With this poor lighting in the evening or something?
That's always a concern of mine here in New Jersey as well. We have so much road work going on in this state that you never know where the lanes are going on any given day.
Wow. Thank you, Mike. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us on this hump day. I haven't done that in a while, right? Deleting unwanted emails or unsubscribing from mailing lists takes valuable time from your life that you'll never get back. But it appears there are some more efficient options emerging. Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Joanna Stern has been testing a couple that clean up your inbox. Joanna, what have you found?
I actually came across this problem because I've been using Gmail's inbox sort of, it's a structure that lets you turn on these folders and it will automatically put these in different areas. And so it sort of makes you forget that you have subscribed to all of these.
Oh.
But then I actually logged into my Gmail on another mail client and it didn't show those delineation folders. And it showed that I had 6,000 emails in my inbox, most of which were not sent by humans, but robots, robots from marketing or social media companies.
You know, I can't help but feel that I went through this process, too, of unsubscribing to places I had shopped at before, these various outdoor places. And that's great. I don't get the emails anymore. But I feel like one of them gave me a parting gift of hijacking my email, because for the first time ever, as I was doing that, somebody emailed me back and said, hey, somebody, you know, hijacked your email and sent out this spam from you.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't something I dealt with head on in this column, but it is something I sort of did some small research on the side just to make sure that when you hit that unsubscribe button, you're not, you know, bringing on more trouble for yourself.
Yeah.
So I reached out to a couple of these companies that do these newsletter services. They did a couple of the ones that I had in my inbox, ones from major retailers, ones from other organizations. And they said that that is not something that they do. They said that is not a good practice. Our clients wouldn't come and use us if we did do that. We don't sell the lists that we have. So I think it really depends on which kind of buttons, which unsubscribe buttons you're hitting, right? If some, you know, company or organization use some sort of shady newsletter organization, that could happen. But, you know, from what I'm seeing, and I hit a lot of unsubscribe buttons in the last couple of weeks, I did not have that result. I really have not gotten some of these emails. I no longer get 1-800-FLOWER emails.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Joanna Stern about the chore of cleaning up your inbox. All right, so you mentioned Mailstream. What else is out there?
This next service is really helpful for the people who don't want to fully unsubscribe. They want to see some of that information, but they just don't want to see the 10 or 15 emails every morning when they wake up from J.Crew or the Wall Street Journal or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They just want to see one email. And this is a service called Unroll Me, and it puts all of those subscription emails in one central digest email. And I found this to be really helpful.
Thanks, Joanna. Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Joanna Stern. So the services she mentions in her column, Mailstrom, M-A-I-L-S-T-R-O-M, Unroll Me, and Sanebox. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.